Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
They're concerned about being heard. It's their chance to take back their power. And so they really gave it to this guy on their testimonies of just, one of them was like, I hate you so bad. You are the worst. One was, I hope that you never get out of prison. I hope that you do all these different things. I hope that you realize that we weren't these scared little girls. We are powerful and we are stronger than you. And afterwards, when we were kind of debriefing on what happened, those of us that were part of the aftercare justice side were disappointed with the 5 years, but the survivors were ecstatic. They were heard in court. They got to speak to this guy, take back their power, and the authorities heard what they had to say. For them, honestly, if he was serving for 5 years, 20 years, or 5 months, what they wanted is to be heard, to take back their power, and to let him know that in the end, they were much more powerful than he was.
I'm Steve Murphy, DEA special agent retired and now host of the Game of Crimes podcast. If you've seen the Netflix series Narcos, then you know my story. I now bring you stories of heroism and bravery from our law enforcement and military heroes, and occasionally from the criminals that they faced. Welcome to Game of Crimes. Hey, everyone. Listen, I want you to think about this just for a minute. Imagine that you're 12 years old. Someone promises you a job, a better life, and within 48 hours, you just disappeared. This isn't a movie I'm talking about. This is happening today, every day, and our guest has spent the past 13 plus years trying to stop this. For those of you who have been around him for a while, you'll recognize the name when I get to it. He's no stranger to the Game of Crimes. This is his fifth appearance on the show, and I hope you folks realize how important this week's topics are to me and how seriously I take this stuff. This is my good friend, Tyler Schwab. He's back. Tyler, welcome back to Game of Crimes, brother.
Thanks for having me back, Steve. Happy to be back.
Yeah, it's always good, man. It's unfortunately, the stories that you got to tell us, they're what we're going to talk about is more important today than it ever has been before, from what I'm seeing. And I've said this before, you've heard me, Tyler. Anyone who would enslave another human being, especially a child, is the lowest of the low in Murph's book, and in my opinion, is not worthy of living in any of our communities. That's what I think about you folks. That you, if you partake in this, turn me off. I don't want you listening to us. Okay, I'm all riled up. Old man mad. I can't go too far because I'll have a heart attack or something here. And if you're new to the show here, I met Tyler. He reached out to me a couple of years ago. He runs a foundation that investigates human trafficking and child exploitation for over 13 years now. I would highly suggest you go back and listen to some of his former interviews because I don't want to continue to say the same thing over and over about his background. He did a missionary trip in the Dominican Republic years ago when he was going into college. Based on what he saw and what he learned afterwards, he decided that not am I going to say somebody should do something, I'm going to step up and do it. And that's why I keep bringing him back. So I'm so proud of what he does. He founded a company called Libertas International in 2013 that's based in Medellin, Colombia. Now why would Murph be interested in Medellin, Colombia? What do you think, Tyler?
God, man, there's three seasons. Well, I guess two seasons that detail your story on why you've been in Medellin, Colombia.
Yeah, if you remember my youngest daughter, when we adopted her, she's from Medellin, Colombia. You know, she was just here with her daughter and her husband for the 4th of July weekend. Cool. So by the time you hear this, folks, we recorded this several weeks ago. But like I said, this is his fifth appearance on here. And I got to ask you a quick question, man. How's Lucy and Esme doing?
Oh, dude, man, they're great. Lucy's awesome. You talk about one of the most inspiring stories. I still remember when we first were referred Lucy, you know, and her dad had been arrested
And her mom just hated my guts. I reached out, hey, I'm with a nonprofit here to help. And like, if you want to just help your daughter, help you. And she was, I'm so sick of people reaching out. You guys need to leave us alone. Never contact me again. And she blocked me.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And then a couple, I sent her one last message before she got me blocked. That's fine. Like, if you don't want to talk to me again, that's great. But we're still here to help, even if it means just giving you a month's worth of groceries so that you can collect your thoughts to get stable and what just happened to your 12-year-old kid, what you just discovered has been happening to your 12-year-old kid. That's fine, too. So she blocked me. I heard back from her a couple of days. She unblocked me. She was like, yeah, groceries sound great. And so our team went and got some groceries, brought them to her house. And we're just like, hey, we're just here to give you the groceries. Just we're so sorry about what happened to you. And here you go. And we left. And then she reached out to me. And she's like, okay, like, thanks for the groceries. What would help look like? And so you detail kind of our program, the education, the healing, the justice, all the things that we try to focus on. And she began her process. You know, just 12 years old, she began a very long process with us. And she just turned 18, which is crazy. She's really fighting to just, she wants to study at the University of Utah, where Heidi lives, because her and Heidi are just thick as thieves. So she's really trying to get a scholarship out of the University of Utah. And she's great. She's a great ambassador for the cause. And even then, we never asked her to do that. We just want her to just be free. Just be you. Do whatever you like to do and get the childhood that was taken from you.
Yeah.
And she's when you think of, you look back and you sometimes wonder, was it worth it? Was the miles on the plane and the living in perpetual poverty, myself, was it all worth it? You look at Lucy and you're like, yeah, it was definitely worth it. And Esme, she's great. She's doing the exact same thing. She's 19 now. She's about to turn 19. And so we just completed a year of when she went to Miami and she testified against Correa, who is serving year two of a lifetime sentence. So may he never get out and go to the gates of hell where he belongs. But she's great. She's getting to live a life now where she's focused on her mental healing. She just graduated high school. And I think for her, so much of her childhood was just based on survival. How do you survive day in, day out? She told me a story once, Steve, that just broke my heart, to where she had trained herself to sleep in until noon, not because she's lazy, but if she sleeps until noon, she gets to skip breakfast. And she doesn't have to have three meals a day. She can just eat two meals a day. So it probably saves her and her family $3 a day. She did that for 7 years.
Wow.
And so I get pissed. I'm, oh my gosh, no, what's it cost to get you breakfast? We'll cover it. And she was like, that time is over. We're okay now. But that was the time that I was living in. That's how this guy, he found me in my desperation. And now she just gets to be a kid. Like, she went on some senior trip like they do. And they do all the TikTok videos and they hang out with friends and they start talking about colleges they're going to. And she's just a kid. She's a kid that graduated high school. And for us, she got to grow up because of the foundation. She got to live a normal life because of the foundation. So when you look back and you think of all the people that we've helped and we saved and whatever, if it was just for those two, I'd still go back and make the same decision because those two are excellent, excellent people.
And that's only two of many. Tyler's very humble man. He won't brag about, I love hearing about these kids. And I got to ask you, how's Ben and Mervin and Heidi doing?
Oh man. Ben is great. Ben, he sold his company. And wow, he just can't. Yeah, he made some good money, but he just can't stay. He's not those entrepreneur types. They can't just stay still. They're always out just doing things. And so he's looking to buy a new business, focusing on drywall. He's looking to help mentor young entrepreneurs. He's helping me as far as with the Libertas stuff. Looking, what does it look like in the future, and how do we close the loop on some of the girls who've been with us for a long time? Make sure that they go off into the sunset all taken care of. Wow. So he's great. Heidi's great. Heidi actually, so we had a case last year, Steve. I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast, but it was a case in a new city in Colombia, in Bucaramanga, Colombia, which I've never been to Bucaramanga, but I know the cops down there, and they reached out and they had a case that they needed help with. They needed aftercare and they needed some support as far as an investigative report. Support for this case involved an LGBTQ plus activist who's very vocal in the community about the rights of gay kids and all these different things. Very important work. But when kids that were struggling with that were bisexual or trans, would come to her for help, she would offer help, but in return, she would traffic them.
I do remember this story.
Yeah. So she's just a horrible, horrible lady. She was arrested and 27 of her friends, a really big case. It resulted in 27 arrests and 14 rescues.
Wow.
And yeah, it was crazy. But we got a medal for it. It's my third medal, Libertas's third medal that we've got. They just nominated the nonprofit last month. And I can't go for obviously reasons that we've talked about. So Heidi's actually going to go and receive it in my behalf. And she's gonna keep it. Because all the work that she's done too. She went to Colombia a couple months ago to Medellin to bring a bunch of gifts to the survivors and interact with them and kind of give them the personal visit they've been missing. Came back and is headed back to receive this medal with Lucy. Lucy's going to go with her. And so, yeah, she's doing great. And then Mervin, he's good too. He's killing it always. He just actually, Mervin, this is a cool update. Mervin has been, he's been our director of justice for about 6 years now. And he, for his work, obviously he's a police officer in Colombia. And so, and you know, the stuff that they deal with all the time.
Right.
He joined us, and I think when he joined us, it actually got more intense because of the threats and some of those things that have happened. He's kind of been the focal point of the bad guys in Colombia because he leads those efforts. And doing all that, he's every Tuesday he's been going to law school because he hopes to not only help get the bad guys away from the victims, but also ensure that the bad guys serve actual time in prison. Which sometimes the system just fails. There's so many flaws in the systems across the world. And so he actually just graduated from law school a week and a half ago.
Whoa.
And now, yeah. So now he's Dr. Mervin. He's doctor. He let me know that he has to call him Dr. Mervin. And I think he has to do some kind of, I don't know what they call it in Colombia, but the clerkmanship or something for a judge in Colombia for 3 months. And then he's an attorney. And so he'll not only help rescue these victims, but then also represent them legally to ensure that their rights are protected throughout this whole legal process, and just such an asset for us. It's just going to be such an asset for us. And I'm so proud of him because it's what he's wanted to do for the longest time. And to go from a patrol officer starting out in Colombia at 18 to now being an attorney representing victims of slavery in his country. I mean, just God bless him. He's worked so hard and I'm very proud of him.
You're not kidding, man. I'm proud of that whole crew there. I'm proud of all of you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, if you remember last year, I was fortunate enough to be selected by Tyler here to represent Libertas International with, in addition to those other people we just talked about, when we went to the United Nations over in Vienna, Austria, to talk about human trafficking worldwide. One of the most disappointing trips inside the United Nations that I ever have participated in, but the people I was with made it such a memorable trip. I mean, Esme and Lucy are victims, child victims, of human trafficking and child exploitation. You heard Mervin's former Colombian National Police officer now who's risking his life to help other victims down there. And Ben and Heidi is just, these two have said they've dedicated their lives to helping other people they don't even freaking know. And these aren't paid positions. I'd say Mervin's getting some kind of stipend, but I know Heidi and Ben aren't.
No.
It's just, and I think last time you and I talked, I think you were working for about 13 cents an hour. So we'll see about getting you raised to 14 cents, maybe. I don't know.
God, that'd be great. We got to talk to you to make that happen.
Well, you're the CEO. So give yourself a pat on the back and go have lunch. I'll send you a check.
Yeah. Give yourself a pizza party.
Yeah. But please give my love to all those people. Just what a fantastic group of people to hang out with. My wife went with me over there. She was impressed with everybody. But to see Lucy and Esme, what they went through and then how they stood up. Esme was right there with us in the United Nations building and told her story. I mean, and then Lucy called in on the live stream and told her story. And I'm thinking 17, 18 years old, and they got the stones to stand up in front of people from all around the world to tell their story of misery, of defeat. But here's the thing, man. They didn't let their past dictate their future. These two are just, they're the shining examples. If you want somebody to pattern your life after, pick one of those two young ladies. It's unbelievable what they're doing.
Yeah, Esme especially has some kind of power inside of her that I don't think she knows. She knows it because people tell her about it. But when she spoke at her trafficker sentencing, that's a moment that I'll never forget because a life sentence for a sex tourist in Colombia has never been given before. And to have this girl, she took our social worker by the hand and pulled her up with her and just spoke with such elegance and such power.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because our prosecutors were just looking at her in awe. You had all these police officers from both countries, these mayors and all these different people behind her, just focusing on every single word that she spoke. Speaking, she was like, I know people know what he did. The judges watch these videos. I'm here to speak about the 42 other victims that we haven't yet identified that this guy abused and filmed as well. And the judge, this female judge, just listening to her, just trembling of what she was saying. And then the best part was watching the douchebag, Correa, the trafficker, because people like that, they just think that they're so important. They think that they're so whatever.
They think they're untouchable.
They think they're untouchable because they go to some foreign country and they find the poorest of the poor and they rape them for $7. And to see him just trembling in fear of one of his victims that's speaking what happened to her and how the fate and the future of both countries kind of in the balance here of how are we going to treat this crime going forward and to have her be the center of it. It's something I'll never forget. Something out of a movie to where this, all these powerful people, all this power, all this lights, and the center, it's this little girl and just speaking as if she had the voice of God. It was really cool.
Yeah, just so motivational. Yeah. So folks, just to throw out some numbers at you here right now, I did a little research this morning, Tyler, just so you know, right now it's estimated 40.3 million human trafficking and modern day slavery victims are out there worldwide. Over 40 million. 71% of them are women and girls. And I think it's an estimated 25% are children. Oh, I've done interviews with Tyler here before where I've had to stop recording because I just start bawling like a baby. And this might happen again today, Tyler. We'll see how things go. But this is an estimated $245 billion business. $245 billion, not million, billion. And that's according to an NGO, Hope for Justice. I mean, I saw some figures went up to almost $500 billion. So they seem to be very reputable. Unfortunately, the United States, we still lead all other countries in the world for the number of perverts. We're the biggest consumers of child exploitation and human trafficking in the world. And you know what? They've identified human trafficking cases in all 50 states of the United States. Not something we need to be proud of here. And Tyler, before we get into some juicy stuff here, I guess, just tell everybody in Reader's Digest version, what is it Libertas International does?
Yeah, so Libertas International, our thing is we're focused in, we have an office in Medellin, Colombia. That's where our operations are based off. We'll help anywhere we're asked. We've helped in Tonga. We've helped in Mexico. We've helped here in the States. But the majority of what we do is in the country of Colombia. And our biggest thing is we help victims of human trafficking or sex exploitation. What does that look like? We have the Maslow's hierarchy of needs and work our way up it. And at the bottom, it's safety, it's health, it's food, water, shelter. And I think I mentioned safety, removing the bad guys from the situation and just working your way up. For example, with Esme's case, where she's thinking about college and what she wants to study, really hard for her to do that when she's being trafficked and she's starving. How am I going to think about what I want to study if I can't, I don't know where my next meal is going to come from?
Right.
So we have to just make sure that she's taken care of just as a person before she can start thinking about what her future entails. Same with Lucy, same with all of them. So that's what we do. Just work it to where these survivors can be self-sufficient. They can be okay. They can have jobs. They can have healing, whatever healing looks like for them. There's a girl we're helping heal in her specific way this morning or tomorrow morning, I don't remember, but the trafficker tattooed a tattoo on this girl. He tattooed this big tiger tattoo on her shoulder, and that was whatever. Like, I don't know why he did it or if it was his thing. We've had this case before where these guys will brand victims. Mm-hmm. And with her case, he filmed it and he spread it before he was arrested. And so when people see that tiger tattoo, people know it's her. And so healing for her is making that go away. Very painful, right. Very expensive process. But for her, healing for her means removing that tattoo or letting her form a new tattoo or whatever. And so her specific form of healing looks like that. And then on the legal side, until you hold these people accountable, they're just going to keep doing what they're doing, which is an unfortunate reality of the world that we live in, of bullies and predators. Until someone stops them, they're going to keep doing what they do. And so we stop. We do everything we can to hold them accountable, wherever it's in our power. For us, the most effective way that we hold them accountable is working with law enforcement and taking care of the victims, taking care of the survivors so that they're willing to testify. They know that they're going to be safe when they do so. And you just work your way up to where hopefully like a survivor is okay. She's safe. She's on a path to healing. She has some kind of employment opportunities in the future. And the person that hurt her or him in some cases is held accountable. It varies. Some of the cases that we have, best case scenario, they serve a life sentence, which is probably what they deserve. Mm-hmm. Worst case is we have some that have served 90 days in jail, have served no jail, 5 years in jail, very little sentences, which is unfortunate. We do our candidates in our power. A lot of it's outside of our power when judges decide things and stuff. But we do our best. What's in our power is making sure that the survivors of that case have the resources that they have to heal from what's happened to them.
Yeah. And what's your security status now?
Oh man, it still is what it is. There's the more success Libertas has, the more I put myself at risk, I think, which is, I've had to take certain steps to just keep myself safe, and mm-hmm. I have a carry now, which is good. I've had to move houses. Very aware of my surroundings. I never take the same route to and from even the gym and things like that. I still can't go to a place I love, like Colombia. It's been really hard just for me and for the girls. You start to wonder, because I finally ended up telling a lot of them, because for a lot of times I didn't have the words to kind of describe of, I can't go back because I helped you. It's just, there's no manual on how to explain that to someone. And so I just did. I just bit the bullet. And if they're old enough to ask the question, they're old enough to know.
Right.
And so I tell them, I was like, look, because of the work that we did, we put ourselves at risk. I put myself at risk. Is it your fault? No. Would I go back and change anything? Absolutely not. I'd do it all over again with some caveats as far as my personal safety and protection. But for the most part, do I regret helping these kids? No, I don't. Not even for one second. That's a really sad consequence. But sometimes we don't always get to choose the positive and the negative consequences of doing good. And it's tough. It's something I had to deal with. It's something I didn't think that I would have to deal with, but I have to deal with it. But I always figure if a guy who rapes kids and enslaves kids for his own personal pleasure really hates my guts, that's a badge I'm willing to wear with pride.
Yep. And that's and the reason why I ask you to say that, everybody, is if you typically listen to this or watch this on YouTube, and this week you see there's no episode on there, here's why. Because we don't put Tyler's face on there. The bad guys have tracked him down through YouTube before, and he's received threats because of that. So we just don't even put this particular episode this week on YouTube. It's on all the audio channels like it usually is, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, everything. Everyone that we usually do. But if you're over here thinking, well, Murph screwed up and didn't post on YouTube, that's why I didn't this week. I mean, I'm fully capable of screwing up.
you guys are fully aware
of that.
No, and man, go ahead, man.
No, go ahead. I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, I just love, it sucks. You realize all that. And sometimes, some days it's really rough, especially when the kids go through Christmas and birthdays, or like Heidi has to go down and give them letters on my behalf. Sometimes it really sucks because I watch them grow up and I really enjoy my time with them. But being here is also, it's provided me some really cool opportunities to make an impact in ways I didn't expect. And a lot of that has to do with the Game of Crimes podcast, right? So I reached out to you way back when. I was like, hey, I just want mentorship. I want to know how you fought evil in Colombia and walked out on the other end, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And you were nice enough to come alongside and have me on your podcast and connect with all these people and help me just grow as a man, as a human being, which I really appreciate. And I just am not surprised at all because of your quality of character, the quality of people that listen to your podcast as well. And so this is a cool story, Steve. I don't know if I told you the whole bit that's happened, but so I'm chilling last year. It's around November, December. I think we just did an interview. It came out. And I get an email in my inbox. I'm going to make sure to get this guy's name right, because I always mess it up. It's Art Wussett. Representative Art Wussett is from Wyoming. He's a representative in Wyoming. Everyone that knows me knows that I'm from Wyoming. I love Wyoming. Wyoming, I'm so passionate about it. But because of the work that I've chosen to do, a lot of my adult life is spent outside of Wyoming. Right. I've lived, I think, total for a year and a half since I turned – no, that's not true. Since I turned 18, I've lived about 2.5 years total in Wyoming. It's my home. It's where I consider home. And I'm 35 now, almost 36. And so because of the work, a lot of my adult life has been left outside of Wyoming. And so I've always looked to kind of make an impact in Wyoming, but just haven't spent enough time to do it. And now that I'm threatened, I have time to do that. And so he reached out and he invited me to come and speak with members of the legislature in Wyoming as they look to pass new bills and protect kids in this new scary digital age that we're in. And so I go and I give a presentation. Art, you know, listener of the Game of Crimes podcast, he had me on and gave a really nice introduction. I spent 2 hours with the elected officials of my home state. It was awesome. Just people that I had looked up to for a long time, football coaches, it became legislatures from all across the great state of Wyoming, listened to what I had to say, which was crazy. It was so, and they made me cut my hair. My hair was down to my shoulders and my mom bullied me into cutting my hair. She bullied me, Steve.
Good job, Mom.
She bullied me. She faked revelation from God. She was, God came to me in a dream and I think that you need to cut your hair. And I was, I'm going to do what I want. I'm a grown ass man. And I drove my way to Great Clips.
There you go.
I mean, how that happened. Yeah. I'm a grown ass man doing whatever I want, driving my ass to Great Clips. But
good job, Mom. There you go. And yeah. I agree with her 100%.
Okay. Well, shout out to my mom because she had me cut my hair. But so I'm at the legislature and I speak and it was great. I just met some really cool people and another representative from there who heard me speak, Representative Erickson, he was, hey, there's an after party for the legislature. Do you want to come? And I was, sure. What's going on? Yeah, it's in Cheyenne. Might as well go party in Cheyenne, a big city. So they take me to this after party, but I meet two people there that really just have helped kind of the work that we're doing going forward. One was an ICAC officer from Wyoming, who encounters a bunch of victims when he arrests pedophiles that upload their CSAM, also known as child pornography videos, to the internet. Connected with him, and then I get approached late in the evening by this representative Leon, who's another representative down in Wyoming, and she's like, I could really use your help on something. She's like, are you going back to wherever you're from in the next couple of days? And I was like, no, I can hang out. I can go hang out. And she was, I just need some help. I'm pushing this bill, this AI bill, because there's people that are making AI-generated child pornography, AI-generated CSAM,
right,
and they can get away with it here because there's no real child. And CSAM is kind of in this weird thing where it's like, is it pornography? I don't know. Is it not? I don't know. And we'd actually just had some cases involving AI-generated CSAM. She was, I'd love for you to hang out for 3 days and just testify with me as a witness and talk to legislators about how this would protect kids in the work that you do. And I was, yeah, sounds great. Let's do it. So the next 3 days, I just hung out with her in these breakout sessions and these committees talking about the effects, like what happened to Lucy, what that does on a person, what that does to someone like Esme, where these videos are out there. And now imagine that you were never in those videos and someone had created that just on AI prompts and made it and generated it as if it was you, how that would affect your life. And just 3 days on the Hill testifying, to get this bill passed where if someone generates AI-generated CSAM, AI-generated child pornography, they can be prosecuted.
Good.
Yeah, and after 3 days, it passed. After 3 days, it passed. It got the votes from both the House and the Senate, became law. And just last week, someone was actually prosecuted using that bill because some teacher in a town in Wyoming was taking the school pictures that they take every year and uploading it to AI and creating AI-generated CSAM with pictures of his students. So he was just prosecuted using that law, which is, I think, something that will protect Wyoming kids well into the future as we kind of figure out this AI trend that's happening, which is really awesome. It all happened because of the Game of Crime podcast. But then as the bill got passed, I got approached by a member of the tribal nation. And so there's a lot of people that like know history and know Wyoming's geography. There's parts of Wyoming that are reservations. There's the Wind River Reservation, which is the main one. And anyone that knows the stats of missing and murdered indigenous women know that that population of women,
right,
it goes through, it's been through a lot. And so he approached me and his name's Ivan. He's a representative as well. He represents the tribal nation in the legislature in Wyoming. He's also a professor of indigenous studies at a college in Wyoming. And he was, I'd love to have you come out and speak at my college. I was like, yeah, great. That sounds awesome. Wow. So I go to his college and we speak and we hang out and he gives me all this cool knowledge on the Indian reservation, the history and what it's looked like for the indigenous people. I spoke at this conference, which is awesome. And at this conference, I met this woman who runs this nonprofit based in Wyoming that helps find resources for missing and murdered indigenous women, as well as support for the families. Because she herself has had two daughters, not just one, but two, who one is missing and one was murdered.
Oh my gosh.
And she's just this animal of a woman that's trying to fight for the rights of indigenous women and get them help and get them aftercare and all these different things. And I kind of, we met at this conference and I told her, look, I'd love to help you. Whatever that looks like, obviously you know better than I do, but I want to help in what you're doing. And so we're collaborating now. We're working together. We're trying to figure out ways to support families of the missing and murdered Indigenous women, track down those that are missing, find out where they are, offer them resources, and do whatever we can to help governments and different agencies prosecute the people that murder and abuse these Indigenous women and girls. And it was awesome. Because of the Game of Crimes listener, one of the episodes that we did, it led to this bill being passed, and it led to me working with the tribal nations and me personally being able to give back to a state that I love, but I don't get to spend enough time in. And so I'm just not surprised the quality of character of people that listen to your podcast. Every time I come on here, specifically that last time with Art, has just led for so many cool things that have happened for women and girls across the country, but in this case specifically, across the state of Wyoming.
You're giving me way too much credit there. I just have a little true crime podcast. The legislators, thank God that they had the intelligence and the fortitude to step up and reach out to you and make an offer for you to come out. I mean, you got to, I've never spoken in front of a legislator. I've spoken in front of, well, I have spoken in front of Congress and all that crap, but they don't care. What's awesome here is that within 3 days, both sides of a legislator came together and reached an agreement. Wow, there's something we need to see in every state as well as in Washington, D.C., isn't it?
No kidding.
But this is all because of you. It's not because of Murph. It's not because of Game of Crimes. It's because of what you stepped up to do. And I don't want to hear more about it. I'll talk to your mom. I'm serious. I'm being totally serious, man. I think I'll call the people at the dictionary company and say where the word hero is, put this man's picture in there. Because it's fantastic, dude, what you're doing. I know you're being humble, and I appreciate that. I really do. But you do deserve the credit and the recognition. In fact, I'm kind of thinking in the back of my mind, I'm hoping if the legislators are listening here from the state of Wyoming, maybe offer this man a paid position, because I know he's not making crap from this nonprofit. He's all the money that comes in, he's making sure it goes towards the victims. So he's willing to step up. I mean, he donated 3 days plus coming to the legislator, and I'm sure they didn't pay any of your expenses.
No, they didn't. Yeah. No.
Okay. All right, so you got it, man. You step up again.
I appreciate it, Steve.
Do the right thing here.
Yeah. Have me back, and we'll talk again.
There you go.
I'm sure he's listening. He's an avid listener, so I'm sure. Shout out to Art, because he's a good man.
Yeah, and seriously, shout out for Murph as well for doing the right thing. I mean, that's what our legislators are supposed to do, is protect our citizens within their jurisdiction, their area of responsibility, and your people did.
Yeah.
Wow. I've never been to Wyoming, but I'd love to come.
Yeah. They did cover my hotel for 2 days. I remember they did cover my hotel for 2 days. So they did pitch in something. That's good.
Excellent.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile. And the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Okay, I want to get into a couple of stories here. Well, first of all, I want to ask you a question. Did anything happen since the last time you and I talked that made you stop and go, man, there's something I've never seen that before?
That's a good question. The story I just shared, that was one thing, because working with legislatures and stuff, it's just a totally different game. And I give my mom crap, but she was right. It's a different kind of game you kind of have to play to get in there. I don't know if they would have taken me as serious. I would have came in there with my ponytail I had going on. So you come in there, and I'm aware I have an intimidating look. I'm 6'2 and I'm 245 pounds, but the hair, having a hair nice and being cleaned, and that was a different game. Just 'cause I never thought that I'd be in that situation. I've never thought I'd seen something. I never thought I would be put in that situation where you're influencing law. I never thought that would happen for me. Mm-hmm. And it's a different game altogether of what it takes to make that happen. I'm glad I learned about it. I look forward to working with it going forward. But yeah, there is something. I was so used, Steve, honestly, to what is this even come? Judges like being on our side. Esme's case really spoiled me because that judge really laid out hard for this trafficker. And she gave him a life sentence and everything was good. And we were really excited about what had happened. But that's not always the case. You're not always sure what a judge is going to do. We had this case that we were involved in a very minimal level. I wouldn't say that we did the investigation. We offered all the support to the victim. But we were aware of the case and we were supporting in the ways that we could support. And it involved a collegiate athlete who was serially raping his cousin for about 10 years, his step cousin.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and he would do it all the time. And for her, you listen to her and you talk with her. Having a very influential athlete cousin who's abusing you on weekends is really hard because you hear people cheer his name, you see him in the paper in a very small town. It's really, really, it's impactful for her just as a person to not report what had happened to her. When right. she finally reported, he was arrested and he was put in jail and he did plead guilty. He did plead guilty, but during the sentencing hearing, the little girl talked. She took time out of her first day of high school to talk about what this guy had done to her. And the judge, so you can give recommendations. Anyone that knows it's been a court case, you can kind of give back and forth of, we would like the maximum or we'd like the minimum, and the max might be 15 years or 5 years or whatever. People go back and forth. It's a stupid game that lawyers play. But the judge in the end can make the ultimate decision. And the judge, the time we knew that we weren't going to win on, just because the time is, you just can't control, but you can control a little bit more, is their status on the sex offender registry. Mm-hmm. That's something that will follow them forever and make it hard for them to get a job. It will kind of name them forever, and it will protect other kids as well. And so we were fighting very minimal. Again, I wouldn't say Libertas played a huge role in this case. A lot of agencies were involved in this case, but we were there in court and we wanted the registry and we wanted at least 10 years in prison. And the judge gave us none of that. A female judge said, we will not put him on the registry. He will serve 90 days in jail. And you know, our side of the case was, that's ridiculous. You might as well let him go now. And she, we can't let this incident, we have a chance for justice here, she said. We have a chance for justice here. We can't let what happened define this man for the rest of his life. And then for us, we're like, well, what about this little girl, man? What about this little, she's at first day of high school. Her mm-hmm. first day of high school, and she's having to come here and plead with you to take what she said seriously, a crime that he pled guilty to, mm-hmm. and just nothing. For whatever reason, it was just no sex offender registry. Judges were on our side. Even one of the lower sentencings that we had, which was in Austin, Texas, where the guy got 7 years, the judge really gave it to this guy verbally and gave him the max that you could charge on the crime that he pled guilty to, which was mm-hmm. 7 years, which is not much, but it's something. But no, I mean, 90 days in jail and no registry. We won that case, but we didn't feel like a win. And it's just one of those things in our system. Our system, I think, is the best system in the world, Steve. I think you would agree. But it still has some flaws. It still has some holes. And how do we work to just plug up those holes?
Being the suspicious person that I am, the first thing that comes to my mind is, small judge in a small town and a wealthy athlete was a check
a lot of money.
Written. Yeah. I don't know anything about him, who the judge is. I didn't even know it was a female judge until you mentioned it just now. So it's just suspicious. It makes
it is a wealthy, it is a wealthy more, family too.
You get more than 90 days for a DUI now. Outrageous. That poor girl.
So even now we're trying to figure out how do we help? How do we, because healing is just, I just don't think it's going to happen in a small town like this where the guy, I mean, we won.
Yeah.
We won on paper. The prosecutors will get their win, but all of us were just, this doesn't feel like a win. It feels like we got our asses kicked.
And so where's the incentive for him not to do it again? There's not. Oh, they're going to slap me on the hands again. And you know what? The 90 days probably translated to 30.
Yeah.
Outrageous. Outrageous. Hey, well, you taxpayers in Idaho, you're the ones that can make the difference. You got to stand up and do what's right.
Yeah, no kidding. Just remember the judge's name. I can't say the judge's name or I'd probably get in trouble. But people that were listening, if there's anyone listening from Idaho that knows, I mean, you vote, you can vote to retain those judges. And that's your power. It may be a small power, but it is power. And if that's how they're, the comment of, we can't let this ruin the rest of his life. I'm just, but what about her?
Exactly.
What about her? She has to live with this. It's the way she described it was, we have a chance to stop the suffering of this family now with what she decided to do, as if it was some kind of healing. But what we took is, no, what you're saying is that this has caused a lot of hurt. Let's make sure that this little girl bears the brunt of it and everybody else doesn't have to feel any kind of hurt.
And let's look back. So she's just going into high school. So she's, what, 16 years old, 15 years old?
15, yeah.
And this has been going on for how many years?
10.
And she hasn't reached the age of consent yet for sex. Oh, my gosh.
And it's a bad one. And small town cases, just tough, because small towns are small towns and they're great for some things. And for a victim of rape, of an where the perpetrator is an influential member of the community, it's really bad.
Mm-mm-mm.
Very unfortunate.
Well, tell us about a former MMA fighter out of Phoenix. You sent me an article on that.
Yeah. So that's another one where if it's a win, but it didn't feel like a win. This guy, he's probably one of the worst predators that I've ever come across. He had this Telegram page, and he would abuse kids, put on a Telegram where people had to buy to get the video, and had one video that kind of made him famous called The Trio, which was him raping three kids. The youngest one, which was 14 years old.
And tell everybody what Telegram is.
Telegram is the Russian version of WhatsApp, and which makes it interesting when it comes to collaborating with the feds, is that Telegram sometimes does and sometimes doesn't, because they're a Russian company. Mm. But you can have channels on it to where people can pay to access your channels, and behind the behind these videos, when you work with the victims, you find out what really happened. In the Trio video, the girl said no. And he had his buddy lock the door, and he was like, in my house, we don't say no. And the video became, the video happened. High school kids can be cruel. Our littlest victim in that case, she was 14 when it happened. The video was hidden behind a Telegram paywall. So you could see a cover shot of the video, but you couldn't see the whole video. And so kids in her class pulled their money together to spend $50 to gain access to this video. And once they pulled up their money and they spread it, or they download it, they spread it like wildfire, and now it's everywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and this kid, I'm talking about one kid specifically, she's lost relationships because of it. She's a cute little lesbian girl. She'll be dating somebody, and her girlfriend will find out about the video. And you know, it's just a lot to explain why that's out there and what happened. And a lot of times it ends the relationship because of it. And yeah, this was happening in Colombia, but this guy had victims all over the world. When he was arrested, we were getting DMs from people from the Philippines, from Brazil, from all these different places. And he would also lie to his victims, where he would do a video with his victims and tell them that he's got a vasectomy.
Yeah.
When he didn't. And so what is that resulting in is there's a few of his kids around the world as well that. He's just a monster. He's just a monster. And he was given a prison sentence of 5 years, which again is not that much time. But in that case, I will say, I learned a lot in that case as well, because we kind of knew it was going to be 5 years. And while it's disappointing, he did take a plea, which was good. The girls could avoid the trial and all these different things. But the girls came up to Arizona to testify, and I learned a lot during that experience, because three of the girls came up, three of his victims, and he probably has about 30 victims across the world. When they spoke in court, they're not really concerned about the time. They're concerned about being heard. It's their chance to take back their power. And so they really gave it to this guy in their testimonies of just, one of them was, I hate you so bad. You are the worst. One was, I hope that you never get out of prison. I hope that you do all these different things. I hope that you realize that we weren't these scared little girls. We are powerful. We are stronger than you. And afterwards, when we were kind of debriefing on what happened, those of us that were part of the aftercare justice side were disappointed with the 5 years, but the survivors were ecstatic. They were ecstatic. They were heard in court. They got to speak to this guy, take back their power, and the authorities heard what they had to say. For them, I don't think they gave two honestly. If he was serving for 5 years, 20 years, or 5 months, what they wanted is to be heard, to take back their power, and to let him know that in the end, they were much more powerful than he was. And so you go back to your first question you asked me, that's something that I learned a lot, where for a survivor of human trafficking, I don't think that time served or the time that's given the sentence is necessarily the most important thing. The most important thing is the fact that they get to take back their power from these guys in a way that proves to them and others that they are stronger than these predators. Mm-hmm. And these girls did. These three girls did, and they spoke for the other girls that couldn't speak for themselves. And then they got to enjoy Arizona for a few days and enjoy everything that the United States has to offer and meet some really good people. One of the girls told me the most just heartbreaking thing. We're at my cousin's house, and the littlest girl that I was talking about, she's one of my heroes, man. She's probably the girl in the foundation that's been abused the most. She's been abused by no less than 10 American men, most of which are in jail. There's some stragglers there that haven't paid for what they've done to her yet, but they will. But she's had a rough life. She's had a hard life. When the video came out, her dad then attempted to rape her. And when she wouldn't allow it, he threw money at her as if he saw her as a prostitute now, which just tore up her soul. Like, you can't imagine. She's gone through a really really hard life. She's the one that had lost her relationships. But God, we go to my cousin's house in Phoenix because he threw us a barbecue, and he has this little girl. She's, I don't know, 8 years old or something. Mm-hmm. And she's very social. She's very social. And so she goes up and just hugs her dad, climbs up on his arms. And my cousin, he's a big guy. He's 6'3" and she's 8 years old. So she's clinging onto his chest with her legs around his waist. And he's just patting her back. And he says to the girl there, he's, yeah, this one is kind of a daddy's girl. And the little girl tells him it must have been so great to have a dad. I wonder what that would have been like.
Heartbreaking.
I told my cousin, he started to cry and just look around his little family and just be grateful for the life they'd been given. But the end of that story is good. She's great. She met some really good people here in Arizona that want to invest in her business, that are completely a part of the foundation. They're just entrepreneurs and donors here. Mm-hmm. They want to help her be okay. She was heard in court. She survived. She did the most important thing a girl could do, which is survive. And she's done that. She has a really bright future. She graduates high school at the end of this year. And I'm just so proud of her that she was able to not just stick up for herself, but stick up for those girls in this case. They've just had to suffer in silence. And a lot of these people, honestly, Steve, watch that case unfold through the Libertas Instagram page.
Yeah.
They didn't want to talk to the cops. They didn't want to do anything that would put them at risk. And this guy is a dangerous guy. Like, he had some dangerous people that were helping him as well, and some very corrupt and dangerous people. But they just watched this case unfold via Instagram. And when justice was finally done, I hope that they felt some kind of peace and some kind of gratitude for the girls that stepped up in Columbia to make sure this guy was held accountable.
Yeah. Yeah. Ashton, God bless those kids. I mean, the victims, it's just unthinkable. We're so fortunate in a free world. And I know some of those countries are free countries as well, but the rule of law here, it's not perfect, but you certainly hope that it will stand up for the victims. Maybe not in Idaho. Yeah, at least not in front of that one judge. You can't stereotype whole state.
But that one judge, we can definitely stereotype that one judge, no doubt.
Absolutely. There's one other one I'd heard about, an influencer in New York. Can you tell us about that?
God, which one was he? I can't talk about that one yet because that one hasn't hit the press yet. But okay. I can talk about one that I actually have an email on my draft for you that I was going to finish this weekend, but the babies kept me busy. It's a guy from California, and he actually owned a clothing company in California. This guy is named Miguel Sierra. He has dual citizenship, Peruvian and American, but he's lived in the States for the last 30 years. Same type of thing. He owned a clothing company, would travel down to Colombia, abuse kids, film it, bring it back. I think with him, he would just keep it himself. It wasn't shared, but he would go back and abuse the same kid over and over and over again. This kid in this specific case, she's a great kid, but she comes from a very tough family. The mom is a single mom who's had a lot of trauma herself, and her sister is special needs, severe, severe special needs. And so there's a lot of needs for that family. And this guy and about five other American men took advantage of this specific kid. And so they got him. We helped this survivor, kept her safe, helped her with her aftercare. And when he was flying down to Colombia, they got him in the airport based on the report that the girl had made, put him in jail. But as these guys do, you talk about the rule of law here. One of the things I most appreciate about the States is that if you intimidate a witness, you are in deep. Mm-hmm. In other countries, that's not it's not really a thing. Like it's not hard to get victim information. It's not hard to get victims' phone numbers. So this girl reported to us throughout the legal process that these lawyers were asking for her address because they need to do their own personal psychological evaluation on her for the case to protect their client, which was Miguel. Which what that means is you're going to show up to your house, they're going to offer you money, or they're going to show you a gun. That's how it works in Colombia. I mean, you know better than anybody. Because
plato plomo.
Plato plomo. You get to choose. And this happens a lot in Colombia. And we had to learn the hard way of just how that happens. But this time we were prepared. Because it's happened in the past. We weren't prepared. But this time we were. When these guys came offering plato plomo, we helped the girl be safe. Had her make the report to the right people to ask for protection. And God bless the authorities. Like in this case, they recognized what was happening. They got her out. Kept her safe. And in the end, this guy was sentenced to 18 years in a Colombian prison starting last month.
Good.
So, I mean, that's a definite win. I mean, the time is good. The Colombian prisons are no joke as far as how these people have to live in the Colombian jail. And couldn't happen to a worse guy. This guy, again, same type of guy. Thought he could travel back and forth and abuse a vulnerable, vulnerable kid that had a lot of issues with her family already. And he can't do it. In the end, this girl proved that she was much more powerful than he was.
Excellent. Good for her. Sorry for what they went through, but they're so inspirational to have the stones to stand up. I mean, here in the United States, we got victims everywhere that are afraid to stand up for themselves. And these children are standing up for themselves. Of all the rescues that you've been involved with, what's the most unbelievable rescue? What one that just really sticks in your mind?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I can tell you though. I could say this one. This one's awesome because this one, I actually have a message I need to answer from this girl right now. It was my first ever rescue that I ever had as an anti-trafficking professional. I think I've mentioned this story on the podcast, but the story is a lot of these stories because I'm getting old, Steve. I'm getting old and some of these kids are growing up. That's what's crazy is I've been doing this for that long.
I'm twice your age. You're not going to get any sympathy here.
You look great, though. You look great. So this kid, my first ever case was in the Dominican Republic, right? And I try to figure out, where do I fit in? How do I do this? How do I help? How do I do whatever? And I got connected to a really good prosecutor named Sophia Brockman. If she's listening, I'll give her a shout out. She's the first person to really trust me to be like, yeah, this guy looks like he's out to do some good. Let's work with him. And we came across this case of this mother, just a total bitch, Steve. This mother that was trafficking her two daughters, ages 7 and 5, in the Dominican Republic. And it gets worse. In this hellhole of a house, she's having this live stream to people in Pittsburgh on Facebook, of all places. And pedophiles would pay her in crypto based on the sexual acts that the 7-year-old was forced to perform on her 5-year-old sister. Just horrific. And when we located the location of this, we hit this house. I was lucky enough to go with the cops to do this. I mean, this was hell on earth. Just, I mean, there was dog shit everywhere. There's nasty food in the fridge. There's this stink. There's this sweat of just human desperation. And in all this ugliness, the most ugly part was this bed, this new bed with a camera in front of it. That was the ugliest part. And you pull these two kids out. These two kids are just the sweetest kids. They're tiny. They're 7 and 5. And there's also a little brother in the house. He wasn't part of the abuse, but he was present while it was happening. He was a year and a half old. Pull out all three kids. And I mean, I sat with the Dominican cops and the prosecutors for a long time because we did not want to separate these kids. We wanted to go to a safe place. We found that safe place. We invested a lot of resources in this safe place to just make it a nice place for them to live, a nice new paint job, a nice bunny farm where they can raise rabbits, grow those rabbits, kill those rabbits, and eat those rabbits. And it's just a constant stream of income for them and protein, honestly. And you just watch these kids grow up. You just watch them grow up. And I'm getting to the point now where I'm getting so old that a lot of these little kids I've rescued are growing, and they're becoming young women and young adults. And so once the oldest of this, of these girls, she's 17 currently, if I'm getting my numbers right. And she got a student visa to the United States a few years ago, and she's currently living in Missouri. And she's getting to the point where it's starting to apply for college. And so she reached out to me and she said, "I would love to study where you live so we can hang out and I can be part of the foundation in the mountains and serve and be of service to any kind of anti-trafficking efforts that are happening where we live." And so me and Heidi together were okay, let's find some places for you, some scholarships for you. And so she's looking at places now. She's applying for some scholarships across a bunch of colleges across the West in Montana and Utah, Wyoming and Idaho. Idaho has some great schools. And for me, that's an awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. That was such a monumental part of my life, was seeing her as a kid and helping her escape that situation and watching her grow up. And the fact that she may be going to school near me where I can watch her, I can go to her graduation. She can be a part of the foundation here. I can just be a part of life here and see her get involved in the anti-trafficking efforts here in the United States. For me, it's a rescue that was impactful, obviously, because of the severity of it. It was a very intense rescue, but the fruits of it, just seeing what she's done with her opportunity at a new life. She was just 7 when it happened. So her chance at a new life and her new beginning and what she's done, the fact that she may be going to school at Southern Utah University or something, and I can actually watch her graduate and watch her get involved as she kind of finds her identity. It makes me so happy because she's such a special kid. They're all special, but her story is such a big part of my story. Mm-hmm. And the fact that as she grows up and I grow up and that she continues to just be involved and wants to be close and wants to see the beauty of the West and all these different ways and call that her home. It makes what we pulled her out of in that hellhole so much more impactful.
And I think we talked about it last time you were on the show here, or I think we did, or maybe we talked about it privately, but Tyler not only helps these victims when they're first rescued and his organization, Libertas International, and you've heard us say now he can't go back to Colombia because he's under so many death threats down there. If he goes back, he's not coming out. But you went with me, was it last year we went to San Diego for that law enforcement conference and brought a victim with him? So I've gotten to meet some of these folks, and they're just so inspirational to meet them in person. Just hearing about them is inspirational. It's motivational. But he continues on through helping them with, I know the one I'm thinking about was they have dental issues. And so tell us about what you did. Just remind everybody about that, because that's above and beyond.
Yeah. Oh, is it the driving to Wyoming one? Is that one?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Because a couple of different dental issues we've had over the years. But this one, it was definitely required some sacrifice. But so that rescue was crazy too, man. Her rescue was crazy just because it involved some cartel stuff in Mexico, Tijuana. I think I told you about the period story where the girl was just crazy. And then once they came across the border, going and picking them up and bringing them to the West, that again was a whole different adventure. Hell of an adventure, but it was definitely an adventure. But we talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and stuff, and it's really hard to think about what your teeth look like when you don't have food or you don't have tampons, or you don't have any of this basic stuff. So one of the survivors, long story short, they tried to take her life in Colombia. She fled to Mexico, where she waited and asked for asylum a few years back. She was finally granted, she was led into the United States so she could ask for asylum. And then we went and rescued her whole family, which there's four of them, and took them from San Diego and brought them out west where we live. Not for any specific reason other than that's where we live and that's where we have people that we know. But throughout that process, you live in poverty such a long time and you're begging for food on the border and you're kind of running from cartels and traffickers and stuff. Dental care is pretty low on your list of needs. And so her youngest daughter, who's my little superhero, she's such a brave kid. She can be a turd because she's a teenager, but she's she's definitely a great kid. She's had some big time dental issues, and is someone who does not speak the language super great in the new country where she lives in, who may be a different skin color, a different religion. They're just bullies. You know, kids can be cruel to each other.
Right.
And so the dental care was something that was important for her, and the dental care that she needed was really, really expensive. And we knew we had to fix it. We just didn't know how to fix it. We didn't know how we're going to do it, how we're going to do this or anything. And going back to Wyoming is just filled with so many good people. Obviously, we talked about the legislatures, but just the people in general. So much of our funding comes from monthly donors in Wyoming. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try one thing because I can either save money for the next year and see if we can get you a session with the dentist, or I'm just going to reach out and see if someone or something can happen in Wyoming. Cause Wyoming, those freaking cowboys, bro, are very protective of Libertas and our girls. And good. I love them for it.
Yep.
Freaking my cowboys, man, they're just good people. And so I put it out there. I was like, okay, well, here's the deal. I have this 14-year-old kid. Her smile is all jacked up from the things, not just the things that the lack of dental care, but also the things that were done to her. I'll let people's kind of imagination kind of go where it needs to stop them. But
right.
Consistent trauma in the mouth affects teeth, especially developing teeth. And I sent out, this is what we got. It's probably a disaster, but we need someone to donate some dental care. It's tax deductible if you want to do that. Or if you don't, just do it for free. That's great too. And God, in a matter of 30 minutes, I got these DMs from 40 different people. Call this guy, call this guy, call this guy, call this guy, call this guy. And a dentist that I actually grew up with his sister. Hey, I'm Dr. Owens, or his sister-in-law. I grew up with his sister-in-law. I'm Dr. Owens. Bring her up here this date. We'll get her taken care of. So going to Wyoming from where I live, it's a good 4.5-hour, 5-hour drive where this dentist lives. So but a tank of gas is way cheaper than dental care.
Yep.
And so we hop in my car, we go, and he fixes the disaster that was her mouth. We were there for 6.5 hours. Man, he was awesome. He was awesome. Him and his team were so good. They cleared their, I can't even imagine, Steve, how much that thing cost for one, and two, how much money they lost clearing their whole schedule from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. I can only imagine how much money that business lost helping this girl that day.
Right.
I'm no dentist, but I know numbers and I know what insurance looks like. And I know that that number is pretty big. But the whole day focused on her, getting her all set up. And her last half hour, the local orthodontist from my hometown came, saw her, checked it out. And he's like, okay, bring her back on this date and we'll get her braces done so that her smile can be fixed. And so we did. We have to go back every 3 months or so to get her braces fixed. But see, that girl, I bought her tampons when she was stranded in Tijuana and she was starving. It was her first period. I rescued that girl from San Diego where she'd been homeless for 3 days, begging for food from a Burger King so they could get free Wi-Fi. I've walked with this girl through so much of her life. And the whole way home, freaking, she had her phone up to her face and she had her braces on and she's just doing TikTok videos, showing off her new color, new braces, and her new smile. Because I guess the chain is really in style now, I guess. That's what she says. I don't know. I don't know braces. But just, it was one of those moments where you're like, this kid got to grow up because of the work that we did. From where we found her, which was the lowest moment, was that moment in Tijuana with her period and the tampons and just the amount of human desperation it takes to ask somebody for that. Mm-hmm. To now, like, she had a to-go box of Domino's so that she could eat something on the way home. Because it was, you know, a 4.5-hour drive and she's going to go in and out of consciousness as she sleeps. And just taking TikTok videos of her mouth, I'm just like, this is normal. And this is nice. This kid gets to now grow up and show off her braids like a normal 14-year-old kid. And if you can just give somebody back their normal, I'm just thankful. Thankful for that dentist. Yeah. Thankful for that orthodontist. Thankful for the good cowboys in Wyoming that look out for Libertas. and just thankful that girl chose to survive. Her and her whole family, when not surviving, was probably a temptation on a few different occasions.
Yeah. And to Dr. Owen and all the folks that stepped up to the plate when you asked for help, oh man, hats off to you. God bless you all for doing the right thing. And this is really cliche to say, but doing the right thing doesn't have a price. And it's, to me, I don't know, Dr. Owen, was obvious to me and his, the people that work with him, that they were doing the right thing. God bless them, man.
Yeah.
All the little stupid problems we have here in the United States. And then you hear these stories and, oh man, it just keeps you going. It's like Martin Luther King said, keep hope alive. And hearing these kind of stories do keep my hope alive. And I know it does for you as well. And ladies and gentlemen, we've been going over an hour now, so we're going to take a little break. Tyler here has agreed to come back again tomorrow. He doesn't know this yet, but I might hit him up to come back for two more days, but we'll see how it goes here. Cause I've got 4 pages of questions and we're still, oh, we made it past page 1. I mean, these are so amazing. These are things that everybody needs to hear. Well, I don't care if you're in the United States, or I think our second country is Canada, then the UK and Australia and New Zealand. A lot of countries listen into this. What we're going to start on tomorrow is what parents need to hear. I'm going to hit him up with some questions on what advice he can give all of us. I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. And I'm I know my kids get tired of hearing my wife and I say, you need to listen to this person on the podcast. You need to listen to that person. What's the people that know? I've got 5 granddaughters. I don't want to see anything happen to them. Just you don't want to see anything happen to your family. So, Tyler, thank you so much for today, man. I know some of this gets emotional. I've been able to fight back the tears, but I don't want to see you tear up again, because when you tear up, I tear up. You know what I mean?
I'll do my best. No promises. I'll do my best.
I'm just busting the chops here. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for continuing to come out here. The stories I bring you here are from heroes and heroines, mostly in law enforcement and military. These are the kind of stories, though, that are stories that touch all of us. Because if you've got children, if you've got grandchildren, they are potential victims. So please continue to come back in, support Libertas International. His website is Libertas, Libertas, international.org. You go to the homepage there, you'll see the donate button. It's a nonprofit, so it's tax deductible. You hear what they're doing. I mean, you hear how this man has risked his life, as well as Mervin down there in Columbia, the former Columbia National Police officer, all these people. But then you hear about these victims that are so courageous that they're willing to get in front of people in court and tell their story. Oh, just God bless them all, man. Okay, I'm just rambling, I know. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for today. Come back and see us tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.